Hi, Paul Sackett. Good News Planet. I'm speaking to Dr. Crystal Guachai. Hi, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. We're going to talk about a very important subject, what's keeping girls out of STEM, STEM, and why. So let's first start off, Doctor. What is STEM?
STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math.
Okay. And why can't a girl be in those areas of employment?
Well, I think there's a lot of, I would say, social iconography and things that are holding girls back in STEM. So in the movies right now, in media, only 12% of STEM characters are female. So girls are not seeing themselves in these roles in media. They're potentially not seeing female role models. And then even at school at home, you know, if parents are intimidated by science and math, they may say, oh, well, honey, we're not math people or we're not science people. Or in school, if someone, you know, a girl struggling in math, they may say, oh, well, why don't you try a different subject? So girls are kind of getting this negative message that they don't necessarily belong in these fields.
Okay. And do you think girls want to go into those fields?
So I don't think that everyone necessarily needs to go into STEM, but for me, in the future, all jobs are going to be technologically enabled. You know, whether you're an artist, whether you're a doctor, a musician, everyone needs to know STEM and feel comfortable with STEM. So my goal is really showing kids and showing girls in particular the advantages of STEM and how they can go about creating products, services, solving problems using these important skills.
Aha, okay. And what kind of a doctor are you?
My PhD is in biomedical engineering, focusing on nanotechnology.
Aha, and what brought you to that area of education?
Yeah, as a kid, I always loved taking things apart. And, you know, my dad had us helping around the house. If we wanted a dollhouse, he had us help him build it. So my sisters and I had a really hands-on education. We did things that a lot of typical girls didn't do. My dad always wanted boys, so he kind of raised us like boys. So I think that really, that encouragement gave me the confidence to pursue these fields where I was, in my undergrad class, there were 5 girls in my mechanical engineering class, but I always felt confident following technology and trying out new subjects because I had this built-up confidence that my dad helped me with.
Aha, okay. Do you think this is particularly an American outreach for young people? Because I believe in, like, Europe, I know many European women who engineering and some of those fields that were not our in my mind here, studied by women in America, that was more of something that was suggested by the community or the culture.
You know, that's a great question. I actually don't know if there is that much of a difference. I mean, there's definitely cultural differences in the different countries, but I think pretty much around the world there are typically less women in engineering fields. But that's a great question. I'll have to actually go and read up on that.
Well, I think the reason I'm bringing it up because countries like Russia and Eastern European, where I'm an ancestry, I'm a Hungarian, North Austrian Hungarian, women, I believe, you know, it's been over the years, I go into those fields. And, you know, I think sometimes what keeps people from going into a field is peer concerns, right? Peer pressure, as you can say.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What do you find here in America? Is that peer? So a woman wants to become an electrical engineer, okay? And do you think that the other ladies, let's start with the ladies themselves, not the men, themselves, those that think that what is the, you know, we're in 2018 now. What is the, do you think here? Let's use America, but go back to America. What do you think is the thought process, and how is the media helping or hurting?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to the fact that women and girls don't see themselves in the media. They don't see themselves as STEM leaders, as CEOs. And I mean, even going back to my childhood and in junior high, I was in the robotics club, and that was definitely not the cool thing to do. The other girls and the boys thought it was very strange. So I think there is a lot of societal pressure. There's a lot of peer pressure, you know, based on the things kids are seeing on TV. We're still not seeing girls in STEM fields. We're seeing them as, you know, in lots of arts fields. We're seeing them as nurses, but we're not necessarily seeing them as a CEO of a tech company or, you know, the lead engineer at a company.
So if we did a research, and what ages are we talking about, would you say? Are you, I mean, has research been out there, say, from, I like research, girls, say, 14 to, before college, 14 to 18? Or is that what STEM is? Is that the age? Is STEM age specific?
No, I mean, STEM is any sort of study of science, technology, engineering, or math. So, you know, STEM starts in elementary school when you're studying basic math or you're studying earth science or biology. So I think it starts as early as preschool.
Okay, so let's go back to preschool to my grandkids. I mean, if we did a study of women, and they said, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you put down some of those other electrical engineering, you know, construction worker, I don't know, robotic scientist, or housewife. What do you think would be the majority of the comments?
So they actually have done a study on this, and in kindergarten, about 74% of girls are interested in STEM fields, whether it's construction worker, veterinarian. I know when I was a kid, I wanted to be a construction worker and a firefighter. So about 74% of girls are interested in those fields. And by the time you get up to fifth and sixth grade, it's already gone down to anywhere between 14 to 20%. So by the time these girls are becoming preteens, you have a huge drop-off in that interest. And I think a lot of that is due to societal messages.
Well, and let me ask one other question. And thank you, because you have a lot of good information, and I like that. That's good for people to you know, gauge the world around them. Housewife, mommy, the mother of the home. How is that? I don't know if you know that answer, but I'm interested in that answer. What do women still want to be the homemaker, the most important job in the world? As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think girls, and I know girls at young ages aren't thinking about this, but later on in you know, college and after college, I think women want to do both. I think they want to be mothers and have successful careers. And I'm very lucky in that. I feel like my mom was a great role model. She worked full time. She was a leader in library science. And so she kind of modeled for me the idea that she could have this great, you know, fulfilling, successful career and still be able to help us in school, help cook dinner, and be that strong mother as well.
Okay, I had the same mother, all right? Library science, master's degree, Columbia University, librarian her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So women's rights, women's liberation, my mother didn't have to burn her bra. My mother was working. and that's sort of like where I'm coming from. My European roots is that women worked. There was not a... They worked and raised children, and maybe in our society, maybe men have become a little bit more into the raising of the children and daddy moms and things. But I think here in America, we always you saw the Stepford Wives, and you saw media that did depict, you know, a woman just really being a housewife, and then it's grown, and most women, and I don't know, I've always worked for women in the entertainment business, and that is sort of interesting, right? I was at CBS and PBS and tons of women in that industry, and then marketing and advertising and public relations, tons of women in those industries. But the STEM ones, I guess, have always been, is it not the cool girls? What is it? What do you think is holding people back from going into those areas?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really initiates at a young age with girls, and that's why in my book I really advocate for how we – basically changing the way we speak to our daughters. You know, I think in the United States, a lot of us tell the boys, oh, you know, go climb that tree, go get muddy, it's okay, get your clothes dirty. And we tell the girls, you know, don't get your dress dirty. Oh, you're so pretty. We tell them messages kind of about their appearance as opposed to praising efforts, like getting them to be curious, getting them to be adventurous, telling them to go out and take risks. So I think it involves teaching girls kind of a, I mean, not bad risks, but just trying things that are out of their comfort zone, getting messy, getting their hands dirty, and just encouraging them. And especially with fathers, you know, having dads take the girls to help them, you know, if you're fixing something around the house, if you're fixing the car, those are things we typically do with our boys and we sometimes forget to do with our girls.
So let me ask one other thing. Is that, do we, and it's the Me Too generation, you know, construction workers, there's a lot of impolite people, and I know there's a lot of impolite men, okay? I'm not happy with a lot of men, personally, okay? I think they really have, they're not nice very often to women, polite, okay? I had a mother, I grew up with lots of manners and very, very respectful to everybody, including the animals and plants. So, you know, with the sexuality and stuff, I mean, for a woman to go into construction and to be on a construction site with 80 men, right? Yes, maybe now there's 20, 10 women. I mean, I don't know. That's it's a tough. I don't know if I even how I feel about my daughter doing that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we can get more women into that field, I think it'll start to change. I mean, I think about myself in college, you know, I think in my mechanical engineering class, there were 5 women out of 500 men. And then as a engineer at 3M, there were no other female engineers in my department. So I got asked to get coffee a lot. And I personally would dress down. I would always wear jeans and a t-shirt and closed-toed shoes. I personally felt uncomfortable kind of dressing more female because of the attention that it would garner. So I do think it is still difficult, but if we can start at a young age and get more girls into these fields, then I think it'll just get better.
Okay, of course. It's one step at a time. Venture Girls, Raising Girls to Be Tomorrow's Leaders. It's HarperCollins. The word venture girls, what does that mean?
So for me, venture was a play on words. So the idea of adventure or adventurous and the idea of starting a new venture, because my premise is kind of that we need to teach girls entrepreneurial skills, like, you know, trying things and failing, looking for opportunities, taking risks. So it's the idea of kind of adventure and starting a new venture at the same time.
All righty, a good one. Venture Lab, a nonprofit that empowers kids, especially girls, with an entrepreneurial mindset. Venture Girls, Venture Lab. So, where are these located? Are they down there in Austin, or do you have some others, other places in the world?
Yeah. So at Venture Lab, we've been working on putting free entrepreneurial curriculum online. So, you know, if you go to www.venturelab.org, you can, as a parent or teacher, get free entrepreneurial curriculum. And then we are relaunching our camps starting next summer. Right now, they're mostly focused in Austin and San Antonio, but we're hoping to spread those to other cities as well.
Okay. So that's wonderful. So it's called venturelab.org?
Yes.
Okay. Super. All right. Very, very good work. Thank you for doing it. Anything else you want to share? And then I'm going to ask you one last question.
No, I think that was perfect.
Okay. Oh, that's a miracle. All
I'm
right.
Pretty laid back.
Yeah, you're laid back, and it's good, and I appreciate that. I'm very laid back. So I was out there doing cleaning the backyard, doing this and that, so I'm in a nature-y, laid-back kind of mode. I guess if I went straight into Manhattan, into the subway, I might be a little more out of control in our normal lifestyle way. I am, though, very involved, and our company's involved with World Peace. And we create an event to celebrate the International Day of Peace, which is September 21st, in which 193 countries of the United Nations agreed to a peace day. And so I've asked thousands of people what does peace mean to them, and Dr. Gletsch, I would like to ask you, if you'd be so kind, if you could say your name and say, what does peace mean to you?
Yeah, my name is Dr. Crystal Guanchai, and peace to me means, I guess, everyone following their own passion and their own strengths and living in harmony together.
Okay, that's beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing your good news with us, and we're happy and have had this opportunity to speak with you and share very important work that you're doing. Thanks for doing it.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.